Fantastic. Okay, and Daniel Bloom both driving tonight. Okay, so first of all, thank you everyone for coming to the shiur this evening. As always, in this Rabbi's Desk shiur, I just posed two questions that came up over the course of the past week, and by popular vote, we'll decide which one of these questions to discuss this evening. So, one of these questions, I got an email from a Rebbe in a school in South Florida, and the email reads as follows: Shalom Harav. Not sure if this was ever a 10-minute halacha, but as a Kohen, this was a shaila today. I just found out that there is a brain skull stored in my school science lab. I think the word brain is extra in that sentence. I think it's just a skull, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a doctor. But there is a brain skull stored in my school science lab. They keep it in a box in the cabinet all year and have taken it out when it's needed. Is the assumption that it's from a guy, and as long as it's not being touched, it's okay? I've been told that Rav Shechter holds there's no issue of sof tumalatze is for a guy. Should we see if they can remove it, or it's okay to be in the building with it? They ended up, then at the end he said they took it out, but whatever. So he wanted to know, both for himself, because he's a Rebbe in the yeshiva and he's a Kohen, and it's sitting there stored in the closet, as well as for the Talmidim. A lot of the students are going to be taking the, I assume, anatomy class or biology class, whatever class you learn about brain skulls in, where it's going to be taken out and it's going to be shown to all of the students. So some of these students are Kohanim as well. So is that going to be an issue? So he's asking on behalf of both himself and the students, whether the school should do something about this, that they're storing a human skull in the closets. That's shaila number one. Shaila number two. I got an email from a Rav somewhere on Long Island that reads as follows: Shalom Aleichem. This was actually a WhatsApp, if the mode of communication really matters to you. It was not an email, but either way, Shalom Aleichem. He writes, "Hope you're well. Have you heard any discussion among the poskim about embarrassing anti-COVID vaxxers in public, and if it's allowed or not? My shul has a vaccinated section, 3 feet with masks, and non-vaccinated, 6 feet with masks." By the way, I got this email, this WhatsApp yesterday morning. I assume by today the policy is changing because the CDC just came out saying that if you are vaccinated, no masks are necessary, even in large indoor gatherings like shuls and churches and the like. So, but anyway, this is, or maybe not, maybe the shul will continue to be even more cautious, as many people are. But he writes, "So my shul has a vaccinated section, which is 3 feet with masks, and a non-vaccinated section, which is 6 feet with masks. In some shuls where you have non-vaccinated section, mine in particular, the non-vaccinated section is so small that those who aren't vaccinated are embarrassed to sit there. I asked a prominent doctor if we could just have one policy for everyone, since non-vaxxers are such a small group, and he was not a fan of making any concessions for these people. Was curious where the line between halacha and policy is over here. It's one thing to shame people to get a vaccine when it's real pikuach nefesh, but since this is pretty likely not the case at this point, how could it be permissible to embarrass these people?" So, shaila number one about the brain skull, shaila number two about embarrassing the non-vaxxers or anti-vaxxers. Okay. Okay, thank you for the reassurance, John Tiger, that you're parked. So far we have a unanimous. Anyone else want to vote? Oh, it's no longer unanimous, but it's still overwhelming. Okay, so it looks like it's going to be shaila number two and not shaila number one. So shaila number two was the embarrassing part. Okay, so let's discuss the isser to embarrass a little bit. Let's talk about that isser and what the exceptions to the isser might be, and whether this fits any of the exceptions to the isser, because there is a terrible isser in the Torah, a significant isser in the Torah, that you're not allowed to embarrass another person. How severe is this isser of being malbim pnei chaver barabim? Well, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Yud Aleph, Rabbi Lazar Amodai Yomer, Hamechalel Asakachim, Vamevazeh Samoados, Vamalbin Pnei Chaveru Berabim, Vamefer Brisa Shalav Ramavina Lav Shalom, Vamegalapan Betor Shalakalacha, Afal Pishi Yesh Biyodo Toru Maisim Tovim, Ein lo chelak l'olam haba. That even if he has Torah Meisim Tovim, he has no chelak in olam haba. That a person's malam p'nei chaver b'ram. So that's pretty strong, that even if a person otherwise behaves properly, you have to be careful not to embarrass them publicly. Of course, we should be careful to try to help other people avoid embarrassment. I was just reading a biography. Srili Besser wrote a biography about a chashava satmar chassid. I think it was a satmar chassid. It was a chassid of some sort. Rev Laser, I'm going to get this wrong, Gelthalzer, something like that. Anyone know? So anyway, you Google it, you'll find it, I'm sure. So very, very fascinating person, a very intense personality, and he was a Rosh Yeshiva of a Chassidish Yeshiva. And one of the Maiselach that it tells over there is that he walked into the dining room once, and one of the Bachram was like swinging from the drapes or something. He was like climbed up on the window. He was doing something crazy, something that the Rosh Yeshiva obviously would not approve of. You know, boys are boys, whether they're Chassidish or Litvish or whatever. These things are modern Orthodox, or, you know, these things happen. So the Rosh Yeshiva walked into the room, and he sees this guy like swinging from the rafters, and what's his immediate reaction? He turns to the other Bachrim and he says, how could it be that 200 Bachrim saw me coming and no one warned him to get down to save him from the embarrassment? Meaning that was his immediate Musar. That no one was thinking. Everyone was just thinking, ooh, what's going to happen now? Oh, the Rashiva's going to come in. This is going to be exciting. No one said, maybe get down, the Rashiva's coming, quick. How could that be that no one warns him to save the person from the embarrassment? So the mission in Pirkei Avos tells us that you have to be very careful about embarrassing somebody else. The Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Nun Ches, Amud Beis, tells us, Tana Tana Kamed Rabbi Nachman and Bar Yitzchak, Kol Amal Ben Pnei Chaveru Barabim Ki Ilu Shofech Damim. It's like murder. He says, I've seen that happen, because I've seen when someone gets embarrassed, the color runs away from their face and they turn white. And Tosa says, and the reason he turns red before he turns white is because the blood is gathering together, says Tosos, in order to run out of there. So it's a shvichas damim of the blood that runs out of his face, that gathers in his face and then runs out of his face when he becomes embarrassed. There are also a number of places in Shas, in Maseches Sota, on Daf Yud Amud Beis, in Maseches Brachos, on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and in that same sugya, Maseches Bav Metzia, on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us the teaching of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Noach lo la'adam sheyapil sasmel l'tol kivshon ha'esh val yabim b'nei chaver barabim. Better for a person to throw himself into a furnace rather than embarrass somebody else publicly. Minalan mitamar. How do I know this? I know it from the story of Tamar. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, he mutseis vihi sholcha el chamiha lemar li'isha sher eile lo anochi hara v'tomer hakerna l'miachos that she said, whoever owns these items, that's the person who was boel me, that's the person who I was with, and obviously they belong to Yehuda, but she didn't say it was Yehuda that did this to me. And Rashi writes, v'ilu behedya lo amra elu asimanim shel Yehudahem v'lo anihara. She didn't say that these belong to Yehuda and it is to him that I became pregnant, from him that I became pregnant, elu isha sher ele lo anochihara. She just said, whoever owns these items is the one who impregnated me. Im Yoda, Yoda. And if Yehuda's going to be willing to admit, which would be nice considering his name, it's sort of in there, Yoda, then good, then he'll admit. V'im lav, and if he doesn't admit, Esraf, so then I'll have to die. V'lo al ben panav, but I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm not going to humiliate him. So that's the basis for this teaching of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Better for a person to throw himself into a kivshon eish than to be malam b'nei chaver barabim. Where does the isser come from? I mean, it's nice. It's pretty impressive that we have all of these very, very severe statements of Chazal about halbanas panim. But is there a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to do it? So the obvious choice, ve'ahavtal re'echa kamocha, right? You're not allowed to do anything that you wouldn't want someone to do to you. No one enjoys being embarrassed, and therefore you shouldn't embarrass other people either. I often tell chasanim when I learn with them before the wedding that it's not appropriate to embarrass your wife at a table, even if you have something really funny to say, and everyone's going to think it's hysterical. No one wants to be embarrassed, and especially Yishu Demasa Metsuya, certainly you would not. It's You have no heter whatsoever, even though you're so close and everyone knows that you love her so much or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're not allowed to embarrass another person. The pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, pasuk Yud Zayin, is also mentioned as a possible source for this iser. Pasuk says, "Ocheich tochiach asamisecha velosisa olav chet." And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav Halacha Ches, "Hamochiach es chaveru tchila lo yedaber lo kashos atchiach limenu." If you have to give mussar to somebody, don't speak too harshly to him to the point that you embarrass him. Shemar lo sisa lav chet. That's what the pasuk means when it says lo sisa lav chet. Kach amru chachamim yachol es mochicho upanav mishtanos tamalom yachol at mochicho upanav mishtanos tamalom rav lo sisa lav chet. Mikan sha asu lahachlam es yisol v'kolshkin v'rabim, that you might think that you could be mochiach him and humiliate him. No, lo sisa lav chet. That if you embarrass him, especially in public, it's really inappropriate. Aval pi shamachlam es chaveru in a loka avon gadolhu. There's no malchus for it, but it's a terrible avera. And then he goes on to say, kach amru chacham mad mnei chaveru b'rabim l'chel gal maba l'fichach tzarachadim li'zar b'davar zeh shelo yevayish chaveru b'rabim bein katan bein gadol. Don't embarrass anybody, whether he be a katan or a gadol. You're not allowed to embarrass children either. Oh, but they're mine. Don't I own them? Can't I do whatever I want with them if they're my kids? No, you're not allowed to embarrass even little children. There's an issue to embarrass people. Maybe it's based on that pasuk. The Sefer HaChinuch points to a different pasuk. Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Lamed Ches, Sefer HaChinuch writes, Shalol lahonos echem Yisrael b'dvarim, that there's an issue of a no'as dvarim, and he writes at the end, midinei ha-mitzvah, kama asaros v'kama zirusin shesirunu zuchronim levracha. Onos dvarim includes a lot of different things. And it includes not to embarrass people, not to embarrass other people. So that's part of the yisr of al banas pechver bram. So it is an yisr in the Torah, whether it's just v'yavto l'rechmocha, l'sonu isha samiso, or l'sisa l'vcheit, whatever the yisr is, it's an yisr in the Torah, and Chazal speak very strongly about the yisr. One question that is dealt with by Achronim, though, and really by Rishonim, is how, just how seriously, not seriously, very seriously, how literally do we take the statement of Noach l'adam l'hapal atzma l'tol chivshan ha'esh v'ayam b'nei chaver b'rabim, that you'd sooner commit suicide than embarrass somebody publicly. Is that literal? Meaning, is it really yehari v'alyavar, that a person has to allow themselves to die rather than to be embarrassed, to embarrass somebody else publicly? So this is a kasha Tosos asks, in a couple of places, in Masech HaSota, Daf Yoram, Beis Tos says, I don't understand. If it's really to be taken literally, then how come when Chazal go through the Averos that are Yehorig Va'al Yavar, that you have to get killed rather than violate the Averos, Chazal have a list of three. It appears in Pesachim Daf Chafei, it appears in Avodah Zarah and Dalin, in Sanhedrin and Dalin, rather, that there are three Averos She'en Om Fe Pikuach Nefesh, Avodah Zarah, Gilarai, Shvichus Damin. What happened to Albanas Panim? Why isn't that on the list? So Tosos suggests, Mishum Ta Averos Albanas Panim Einam Afurish B'Torah, V'lonaka Tela Averos HaMafurashos. Albanas Panim, it is on the list. It's just that the written list that we have only includes those Yisurim that are Mefurish B'Torah. The Yisur of embarrassing somebody else, while we just showed that there are three potential Pesukim in the Torah that allude to this Yisur, and that it is in fact an Yisur Daraisa, but it's not Mefurish B'Kra. And since it's not Mefurish B'Kra, it doesn't make the list, even though it's technically, halachically, really on the list. So that's the great Chiddush that Tosos has. Meaning, Tosos says that is Halbanas B'nei Chaver B'Rabim Yaharik Val Yavar? Says Tosos, yes, it's Yaharik Val Yavar. You have to die rather than embarrass somebody publicly. Why didn't Chazal put it on the list? Because Chazal were limiting the list to those things that are Mefurish B'Kra. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel, Oskuf Lamites, has a different explanation as to why it's not on the list, but also agrees that it's Yaharik Val Yavar. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, V'nei avak ha-retzicha al banas panim, that it's an avak retzicha, ki panav yachvru, v'nas mareya ha-odem, the red runs away from his face, v'dom el ha-retzicha, v'cheinam rabbeinu zekron l'vracha, and he says, and the tsar is mar mimaves, it's worse than death. And that's why Chazal say, better to throw yourself into a fire rather than embarrass someone. Why isn't it on the list? Because it's an avak. It's It's an offshoot of Ritzicha. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it works out very well. Tosas Kasha, why it's not on the list. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't directly address why it's not listed among the Gimel Averos, but according to Rabbeinu Yonah, you understand very well, because none of the Abizraihus, or the Avak of, the offshoots of, the subcategories of the Big Three are on the list. Once you include the Big Three, we're including all of the subcategories of the Big Three as well. Tosas is actually much more difficult. I mean, when Tosas is going to say that it's or even Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a kasha how it could possibly be literal. I mean, why is it that Ritzicha is Yarek Val Yavar? The Gemara discusses, right? How do I know that you have to die rather than commit avodah zarah? Right, so that's after Hashem lekach b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, that you have to be willing to give up nafshecha in order to show avas Hashem and not to do avodah zarah. Good, that's fine. How do I know that gilui arayus is yaharig val yavar? So Gemara tells us sugim psachim daf chaf. Hey, the Gemara tells us because there's a hekesh in the pasuk between gilui arayus and ritzicha. Okay, how do I know ritzicha is yaharig val yavar? So Gemara says, you know how I know? It's a svara. It's a svara. Someone puts a gun to your head and holds a gun to your head and says, kill that person or I'm going to kill you. How do you know that your life is more valuable than the other person's life? A svara. Now, I don't know, and therefore I can't take the action of killing him. I have to allow my own life to be taken rather than killing the other fellow. But let me ask you, does that svara apply to Albana's punim? Right, someone comes up, puts a gun to your head and says, embarrass that fellow, tell him, you know, call him a nasty nickname, or I'm going to put a bullet through your head. So the svara still exists, that my chazis, that who's to say? I'll tell you who's to say. I'm to say, because if I embarrass him, he'll be embarrassed for 5 seconds and he'll get over it, you know, and he'll move on with his life and he'll see children and grandchildren and everything else and he'll have all the good things in life. If I get killed, that's it. That's over for me. I don't have a life to live anymore. Isn't that the svara? So it is a little bit difficult to imagine how it could possibly be literal in light of that. There is a tshuva in the Binyan Tzion, though, where he discusses this in detail in Os Kufayin Beis in the Binyan Tzion. And he quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah and he quotes the Tosfos. It's an interesting study, actually, because, you know, this is a kasha that's dealt with, as far as I know, by only 3 Rishonim. Meaning most of the Rishonim just don't ask the kasha. They don't ask, well, wait a second, what about Yarek Val Yavar? Why isn't it on the list of Yarek Val Yavar? And they don't actually discuss whether Halbanas Panim is Yarek Val Yavar or not. So all we have is what the Gemara says. You have Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah, who both say that Ataka is Yarek Val Yavar, and almost every other Rishon is silent. So what sort of assumption do you make about every other Rishon when such a thing happens? Do you say, well, if only 2 Rishonim talk about it, and everyone else doesn't say anything about it, so it must be that they all agree to these 2 Rishonim? Or can you assume that since what these 2 Rishonim are saying is such a gewaltige chiddush, that it must be that all the other Rishonim disagree, and then maybe we pass on like the other Rishonim? Problem is, the other Rishonim didn't say anything. So it's not like a straight machlokes. You know, sometimes in the Shulchan Aruch, you'll have a din that is undisputed. He doesn't quote another daya, and he just quotes the halacha as Yesh Misha Omer. So sometimes he does that because there's only one Rishon that spoke about that particular topic. So he quotes it as Yesh Misha Omer. But the Mechaber is assuming, but we paskin that way. Meaning when there's only one Rishon that speaks about something and no one else speaks about it, so then you paskin like that one Rishon that actually brought up the topic. But over here, it's not exactly the same, because over here, it's such a chiddush. It's against the Pashup Shad and the Gemara in Psachim and the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So how are you going to say that we paskin like these Rishonim? They're the only ones that talk about it. So in Binyan Tzion, he has a long discussion of this, and he writes in the end that if you look at the Lashon of the Gemara says that it's ki'ilu shofech damin. Ki'ilu, what does the word ki'ilu mean? You know, whenever you have in Lamdus, whenever you have shomea ki'one, right? Is ki mean exactly the same as, or does it mean similar to, right? The equivalent of, or similar to? Right, that's always the question. So what do you say over here? Ki'ilu shofech damim. So Binyan Tzion points out, there's a Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, kol ha-mevazeh ha-samoados, ki'ilu ovir avodah zarah. Anyone who's mevazeh ha-samoados, it's as if He's over there with the Zara. Now, is it Yahar Gval Yavar and Bizo Yamahados and someone who plays ball in Chol HaMoed or whatever? I don't know, you know, whatever. That's called, that wasn't a Psak Halacha. I was just trying, you know, just someone who doesn't treat the Moados with the utmost respect. Is there such a din that it's Yahar Gval Yavar to do such a thing? No, obviously, Ki'ilu in that sense doesn't mean that it's the same as. It means, you know, in some type of way, it's somewhat akin to, but not that it's exactly the same. So you can't learn from there talbanas panim b'makom pikuach nefesh. In fact, the Mi'iri, I mentioned before, there are three Rishonim that talk about the issue. Two of them say it's Yahrig Val Yavar. The third to talk about it is the Mi'iri, and he says explicitly that it's not Yahrig Val Yavar. The Mi'iri writes in Maseches Brachos, Derech Tzachus Amru, Noach Lodadim Shabbat Asma Tokiv Shnei Shalayim Nechaver Brab Minala Mitamar. Derech Tzachus means in a way that is not to be taken literally. Chazal say it in a way that doesn't mean like a joke. It means in a way that's that's not to be taken 100% literally. Or in Sota, he says Derech Ha'ara Amru. I mean, he keeps apologizing for how it's said. No, this was said in like a way that's meant not to be taken literally. So that's how the Mi'iri writes. There's a tshuva of Shlomo Zalman Orbach has in Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin of Mincha Shlomo, where he says it can't be that we literally treat it like murder. I mean, let's say you see somebody is about to embarrass somebody else. You're at a Harlem Globetrotters game. I heard that the Globetrotters are no longer playing, right? Is that true? No, the Washington Generals are no longer playing, right? Is that what they were called? The team that used to play the Globetrotters, whatever. They've been pushed into retirement. But anyway, you're at a Harlem Globetrotters game, and the Globetrotters player is about to go up behind the guy on the opposing team, whoever the opposing team is these days, and he's about to pull down his pants, because that's what the Globetrotters do. Should you take out your firearm and shoot the Globetrotter player? Because he's a rodev. He's rodev achar chaver lahargo. He's going to go embarrass somebody publicly in front of 10,000 fans in Madison Square Garden. He's going to embarrass somebody publicly. So you should go and you should just kill him on the spot. Is there such a din that he has a din of a rodev? So certainly not. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, Ein lahalus klala ladas. She mutter laharugas a rodev l'album p'nei chavero. K'moshe mutter laharugas a rodev achar chaver lahargo. If you see someone's going to kill somebody else, so then you're allowed to kill the would-be murderer. But not someone who's going to be malum p'nei chavero, somebody else. But he discusses, still, it might be so chamur that you have to give up your own life for it. Although you may not be allowed to take somebody else's life for it, it could be they have to give up your own life for it. And then Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes that afim asa lahatzel asma bisra gezel banas panim mikal makam kdei limno acher mizeh ein shum heter lavar avera. You're not allowed to violate an avera to stop somebody else from embarrassing somebody else. It's only when it's real pikuach nefesh. And then at the end he says, you know, if all it's going to take to stop somebody from embarrassing somebody else is an isur daraisa b'shevi al taseh, or an isur drabanon even b'kum vaseh, the Gemara in Brachos, Yitaz, tells us, God dol kavod abriyos, shadoch los haseh shabatara. That kavod abriyos is doche, an aseh b'sheh, a mitzvah natar b'sheh v'al taseh, or it's doche an isur d'rabanan, even become vaseh. So maybe you would be allowed to go to that extent. The question is, what exactly are the exceptions? Are there any exceptions to the isur halbanas b'nei chaver b'rabin? Oh, just one more thing about how literally to take it. There's an interesting discussion one of the Achronim has, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Kohen Sharagas HaNefesh, Afil B'Shogeg, Lo Yisakapov, that if a Kohen kills somebody, so he's not allowed to be, even if he did it B'Shogeg, he's not allowed to Duchen. Yeah, Afilu Asachuva, because the bloody hands cannot be the ones that bless Klal Yisrael. So the Achronim say, would you say the same thing about a Kohen who embarrassed somebody? That if he's ever embarrassed somebody, Lo Yisakapov? I mean, it's hard to imagine that you take this 100% literally, that he's literally considered like a murderer. Now, what are the exceptions, though? When are you allowed to embarrass somebody? So there is a comment that the Pele Yoetz has in Halbana, in the entry on Halbana, where he writes, V'yesh amal b'nei chaver gam b'lo das, shemendabar l'fano b'gnos mumen u'maisim sha'asahu, av she'enu miskavin lov, hareil nilkad b'srach halbana. That sometimes you speak about certain topics that are embarrassing to other people, that's also halbana. V'lechein yafashtika, and therefore try to be quiet about sensitive topics. Kibarov dron, lo yachtel pesha. You know, it's going to be, you talk too much, and it's going to end up that it's going to be very hard to avoid topics that don't embarrass other people. So, you know, siyag l'chach mashtika. Try to be a little more, a little less talkative. Amnam la afrushe me yisura shari. In order to stop someone from violating an isser, you're allowed to embarrass him. You go on isha over al divrei Torah mochichu al panu b'sefer kadas malasos v'machzik b'tumaso. Sof ro'i l'chorfo u'legadfo u'lalbino berabim l'man yashav midarko harav yelech b'derech tovim. Says the Peliyot, if someone is doing something wrong, he's doing an avera, you tried to handle it quietly. You tried to tell him, look, this is not b'seder, you can't behave this way. And he continues to act that way anyway, then you're allowed to embarrass him publicly if that's the only way to stop him from violating an avera. Now, one has to be very careful about how you use this, because most of the time, if you do that, it will still not stop him from violating the avera. Then you will have been malbim panav for no reason, and he would still be in violation of the avera. You know, Rav Shachter told us that he was once at a bar mitzvah, and the bar mitzvah boy was absolutely butchering, I think the word he used was slaughtering, the parsha. He absolutely was slaughtering the parsha. He wasn't getting anything right. So all the rabbanim there at the time, he said it was in the YU bungalow colony. Apparently YU used to have a bungalow colony. He said Rabbi Parnas was there, and all the YU rebbeim used to go in the summer, I guess. And there was a bar mitzvah in the bungalow colony, and the kid was slaughtering the bar mitzvah parsha. So he said, we decided, don't correct him. Because what do you gain? You're just going to embarrass him for no reason. And you're not allowed to just embarrass someone publicly for no reason. So the Kriya Sator is only Drabbanan. God will cover Abriya Shadocha, that it's Docha and it's a Drabbanan. It's Docha even a Daraisa, Vishavi Al Tase. So you're not allowed to embarrass him publicly. Of course, Rav Shachter then added, and so later in the day, we all walked to town, to the shul in town, and we did the whole parsha. We learned the whole parsha again at Mincha. We did, you know, like it's very easy to say, oh, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm not going to correct the bar mitzvah boy. Yeah, but are you willing to do that? Are you willing to go back to shul later and learn the entire parsha? That's for that you have to have a little bit of your shemayim. You know that you have to be on. That already takes a certain bal madrega to be willing to do that. Are there any other exceptions to the issur of embarrassing somebody publicly? Okay, because being malbnei chaver bram in order to get him to do right is often going to backfire. It's not going to help. It's not going to work. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chovel Umazik, Perigimel, the Rambam writes that if you're mevayish an orum, you're potter. Gemara says this explicitly, that if you're mevayish someone who's naked, you're potter. Why? Because he's embarrassing himself. He's already running around naked. How much more embarrassed can he be? Or the Rambam says, "Haimevayish es hashota potter." If he doesn't even have das to know to be embarrassed, so then you're going to be potter. So one rabbi who I spoke with about this shaila, not one of my rebbeim, but someone who I'm very close with, I asked about this shaila. He said it's the same thing as mevayish es ha'arim and mevayish es hashota. Someone who refuses to get vaccinated, he's a shota and he should be embarrassed because something of that nature. I don't know. I think Mevayish Asar, Mevayish Asota means he's already embarrassed, meaning he's already as embarrassed as he's going to be, so you're not going to gain anything by embarrassing him. That's what I thought it meant. You know, I was also surprised by the question, because my experience with people who are anti-vaccines is that they tend not to be embarrassed by their position at all. They tend to be quite proud of their position, and they're willing to share that position with anybody that's willing to listen. And often, even if nobody's willing to listen, they're happy to share that position. So I was surprised that they'd be so embarrassed. So the rabbi wrote back to me that in his community, they're very humble anti-vaxxers. They don't not believe in the vaccine. They're just terrified and hopeful that it will be safe. They don't trust the doctors and they don't trust the government. What should they do? You have three seats of unvaccinated section. Everyone knows that the 1-3 guys sitting there are unvaccinated, and they feel very awkward about it. And one of them happens to be a ger. So throw all those yisurim on top of that. You know, embarrassing a convert. That's even worse. How many times do you say that in the Torah? So although we should probably go over to them privately and say, listen, it's a really good idea to get the vaccine, and shul has every right to have a policy that an unvaccinated person should wear a mask for their own protection, for their own protection. And it could be that some vaccinated people may want to save them the embarrassment and wear a mask as well, or just wear a mask as well because they're going to be extra cautious. I don't know that you could single people out and embarrass them. But I don't think, meaning I think there's a difference between singling people out and embarrassing them and having an unvaccinated section, meaning having a section of, or a vaccinated section and an unvaccinated section. I don't think that's overt embarrassment. It turns out, memela, that if they know, tell them the rules in advance, and they'll choose to either daven there or not to daven there. And if they're choosing to daven there, that will be their choice. I mean, I don't think it has to change the shul's policy, because in the end of the day, they're going to feel embarrassed. You're not doing anything to embarrass them. You're not getting up and saying, mocking them and laughing at them and making a... You're not doing anything like that. That would be a serious shaila, whether you're allowed to do something like that. And probably the answer would be no. Probably the answer would be you're not allowed to do something like that. But I think for a shul to have a policy is perfectly reasonable to have such a policy, that there will be a chilek between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Usually it's impossible to police, because no shul is checking vaccine cards. They're not checking vaccine passports or anything like that. So you could say that's the unvaccinated section, and they'll sit wherever they want in the end of the day, because... No one's really going to know the difference. So unless they've been vocal about their unwillingness to get vaccinated, in which case everybody knows, in which case they're not embarrassed anyway. So I don't really see why it would be a problem to continue such a shul policy. Okay, with that, we conclude tonight's shiur. I wish everyone a great Shabbos and a wonderful Zman Matan Torah Seinu.
Good Shabbos,
Henry, go to sleep.
Okay. Thank you.
Good Shabbos, O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly.